You're listening to the Restoration City Church podcast. We are a non-denominational Christian church located in Reynoldsburg, Ohio. We thank you for taking time out to listen to this message. It is our prayer that something said ministers to you. For more information about this ministry, please visit www.myrestorationcity.org. Now the message from our lead pastor, Brian D.J. Robinson, already in progress.
Seed, and God has provided good soil for it. He's provided the right climate, the right hallelujah, the right sunlight, the right amount of rain. And right now, God is putting us in a position that we're getting ready to reap like we've never reaped before. He's getting ready to send a perpetual harvest. He said, don't get discouraged if it doesn't look like the harvest is coming. He says, but right now, the roots are being planted. Right now, the roots are digging deep into the soil so that when we begin to harvest, when God begins to send the growth, he said, no matter what wind comes, no matter what animal comes, no matter what spirit comes, your seed is going to be so planted and rooted that your harvest will be plentiful, that nothing will shake it, nothing will shake the foundation. Anybody here believe that right now? Anybody believe that you are being so planted, so rooted, so grounded, hallelujah, that you're going to become unshakable? You're going to become unmovable. You're going to be always abounding, hallelujah, in the world, in the power of our Jesus Christ. Somebody say, he's risen. Never to die again.
Never to die again.
And because he's risen.
And because he's
risen.
I'm risen.
And I'm seated.
And I'm seated.
In heavenly places. You guys can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I just want to say hallelujah, glory to God. I'm on fire. I'm excited. I'm ready to take the enemy by storm. I'm ready to rush the enemy's camp because I'm telling you right now, the devil think that he's doing something, but he ain't doing nothing. The devil think that he's in a position to where he's going to begin to shake our faith. The devil don't got no power. How many times I got to tell you, he's nothing but a defeated foe in the mighty name of Jesus. Is anybody here to believe that? Because we got to get to a position where we begin to believe the word of God. Do we really believe the word of God in here? I can't hear you. I want us to get ready to introspect, to be introspective within ourselves, to ask ourselves a legitimate question. How much do we believe the word of God? How much do we believe what is written in these 66 books? Amen. Do we believe that God really inspired these men of God to write what they wrote? Mm-hmm. And if he inspired them then, do we believe that it still has power today?
Yes, very much so.
Because there's too many of us living at a level that's below what God has called us to live. I'm not just talking about those of us in here, but as a body of Christ, I know for a fact that where we're living ain't where we're supposed to live. I'm trying to listen. Where we're living ain't bad. A lot of times we think that where we're living is bad, or it's only for those who are homeless, or those who don't got no job, those who aren't in a position. But what the reality is most of us, most of us in the body of Christ are not living the totality of the life that Jesus Christ died for.
That's the truth, anyhow.
For me, I know for a fact that I'm not living up to all the blood that was shed for me. When you think about our Jesus on Calvary and how he was beaten beyond recognition, how he was wounded, how he was chastised, how he was degraded before all these folk. Are we living a life that makes Jesus proud of what he did on the cross? Are we living a life that would make Jesus stand up and applaud? Anybody remember the story of Stephen? Stoned. And as he gave his exhortation, as he stood for righteousness, as he stood for God, as he stood for Jesus Christ, and was stoned to death, Jesus stood up next to the Father, and I would like to believe he clapped his hands. He said, "That's why I died. I died so that you would have power and authority, so that you would have enough fortitude to stand up in front of anybody who opposes what the Bible says, anybody who opposes the reality and the revelation that God is God, Jesus is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is here working with us today, that we would stand up, even risking the reality that we could die for what's getting ready to come out of our mouth. Are the words coming out of our mouth in this season enough to disrupt this world? Are the things that we're saying putting us in a position to look more like the world?" You'd be surprised. Some preachers, you wouldn't know them as preachers unless they had a collar on. Their talk, their walk, their stance is even worse than a sinner in the street. Are we in a position to where we truly believe our God? Well, the message for tonight is a simple message, but a powerful one. The title is Three Keys to Living the Life Jesus Entitled You To. Three keys to living the life that Jesus entitled you to. One thing that I want to say tonight, and one thing that is becoming more apparent and becoming more of a reality to me, is that we are in a knockout, drag out fight. We are in a war, man. We're not just in a little bit of a battle. We're not just in some cute little fight. We are in a war. And how many of you know when a nation goes to war, that everybody in that nation's on what? On alert. We're in a war, but I gotta pose the question, is the church on alert? Or are we sitting in a position of lack? Are we sitting in a position, are we on the couch just flipping through the channels while bombs are blowing up outside of our houses? We're asleep. You're right about that. Where some of us are asleep, some of us are on the couch, some of us are turning our eyes like it ain't even happened. But guess what? Whether you want to believe it or not, whether you want to admit it or not, we're in a war, because our Bible tells us that we're in a war. That's why I asked you, do you believe what the Bible says? Do you believe the words that are in this Bible? Because if you do, you'll understand that we are in a war. Now, we know that this war is not just a war of flesh and blood. We get that. We know that there's some spiritual things happening, right? It's not a carnal. Our weapons aren't carnal for this war, right? We understand that, and we truly know that without a shadow of a doubt. However, how many of us have put ourselves in a position to gird ourselves up to fight this battle? Are we in a position with our spiritual armor on, or are we sitting back hiding behind our Bible? Because I'm trying to tell you, when I begin to study the word of God, when I look at these prophets, when I look at these warriors, when I look at folk like Joshua and Samson and David and even Saul, although he was a little bit crazy, when I look at them, they were powerful and mighty men who were not afraid to stand for God in a time when others were not standing for God. They were not afraid to get on the battlefield. I'm not just talking about spiritually. They were also prepared and ready to get on the battlefield physically. And there are too many of us in the church who are sitting back in our pews, getting fat, eating our fried chicken, wanting to do whatever we want to do, but we're not on the battlefield. Not to mention, we ain't praying, we ain't fasting, we're not sharpening ourselves, we don't even know the word of God, so how the word of God going to be a sword for us if we don't know it? We are in a battle. We are in a war. And we got to get on alert. I know the message tonight is three keys to living the life Jesus entitled you to, but before you can ever live the life he entitled you to, you got to understand that there's going to be some battles in the midst of getting to that life. Amen. The enemy has been after you since you were conceived in your mother's womb. That is something that we got to begin to understand. Just as God is strategic to give us a purpose and a plan when we're formed in our mother's womb, the enemy is also strategic in plotting against us from the moment that we are conceived. The moment that God stamped your spirit with a destiny is the same moment that the enemy assigned an agent from his kingdom to your life. The only purpose of the enemy assigning a devil, a demon, a minion, whatever you want to call it, to your life is to choke you to the point to when you'll never reach your destiny. But just as he's assigned a devil or a demon to your life to choke that destiny out, God has also put an angel with us to walk us through this battle, to walk us through this war. How many of you all agree with that? But we have to understand, and we must be convinced that God has given us a destiny.
Yes.
We must be convinced that God has given us a purpose. Because if you're not convinced of it, then guess what? You're not going to pursue it. If you're not convinced of it, you're not going to fight for it. If you're not convinced of it, you ain't going to value it. Therefore, you'll sell it to the highest bidder. You have to understand that God loves you. And that because God loves you, he put you in a position to be great. He put you in a position to live this good life. Now, I know there's preachers who want to go, well, I'm tired of y'all talking about prosperity and talking about the good life and talking about all these things you can get through Christ. Why are you tired of it when he died so that we can have it? I'd like to believe Jesus in heaven upset, like, wait, look, I died, and y'all still living below what I died for y'all to live? No, you are entitled to a life, and an abundant life through his death, burial, and his resurrection. But I pose this question to you tonight. Are you pursuing your purpose as hard as the enemy is pursuing you? Because there are some people who are sitting back, going through the motions, living life every day without understanding that the enemy is pursuing you. Why is he pursuing you? I already told you. He's pursuing you to choke the destiny out of your life. But if you pursue your destiny with more passion and with more fire than the enemy is pursuing you, guess what? He ain't gonna be able to keep up. Are you pursuing your purpose as hard as the enemy is pursuing you? I'm going to give you three keys tonight that will help you live the life that Jesus has entitled you to. The first key is purpose. The second key is passion. And the third key is power. These are three imperative things for you to live the life that Jesus has entitled for you to live. Purpose is the reason for which something is done or created. We understand that. We must also understand that God has a purpose for everyone. But not only does he have a purpose for everyone, God's purpose cannot be undone. Which is why I constantly ask you tonight, do you believe the word of God? Because if you do not believe the word of God, if you do not read the word of God, if you do not let the word of God read you, and you are not in a position to embody everything that you read, you will not have the ability to grasp the reality that you do have a purpose and that that purpose cannot be undone. You follow me? Amen. Job chapter 42 and 2 says this: I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. No purpose of God's can be hindered, right? So people go, wait a minute. If it can't be hindered, why doesn't it come to pass? Because you got free will. You are the only person that can delay and or abort your mission. No circumstance around you, no person, no spirit, no bad happening can do that. It is only your reaction to what happens. It is only your decision after the fact, because the enemy's going to form the weapon. But when we stand on the word of God, we know that it will not prosper. It's not going to win in the end, right? We have to embody what the Bible says. Once God establishes his purpose for your life, nobody can change it. What doors God has shut, no man can open. And what doors God has opened, no man can shut. We like to say that as a cliche, but that's not a cliche. That is truth. That is reality. People will wear themselves out in efforts to make situations turn badly for believers. Yet God will stand in a position to ultimately prosper you and make those folk who came against you look like utter fools. Uh-huh. The best thing you can do when somebody comes against you and somebody tries to block your destiny and somebody tries to block your purpose is to fulfill the very thing that they said you couldn't do. Especially when God's stamp of approval is on it. Because not only do you get credit, the God of you gets even more credit. Because they begin to go, wait a minute, what this person achieved, what this person accomplished, it gotta be God behind them. Because they're not smart enough to do it on their own. They're not in the position to have all that they have. They are not qualified for this. And that's the beauty of trusting upon the word of God. Somebody say purpose. God's purpose is one that lasts. Proverbs 19 and 21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. The Lord's purpose will always prevail when you put yourself in the Lord. Many of us are trying because we've had glimpses of who we're going to be. We've had glimpses of what God wants for us. We've had open visions of where God's going to take us, right? But then we step out of the place that we were in when we saw it. And then we wonder why we haven't achieved what God has promised us. It's because you prematurely jumped out the oven. Ain't nothing worse than a cake that looked good on the outside. But when you cut on the inside, it ain't done enough. Imagine eating a chicken. Oh, it's brown on the outside. It looks good on the outside. But you cut it and blood flows out. You instantly lose your appetite, right? You got to put yourself in a position and stay in the oven long enough for God to make you ready. And God is the master builder. He's the master chef, right? Which means that you don't got to worry about being overcooked, because his timing is always perfect. When you put yourself in the oven, when you put yourself in the incubator, when you allow for God's will to begin to work in your life, when you allow for him to put his hands upon you and begin to shape you and begin to mold you, he will open the oven at the right time. And when you come out, you will be prepared for everything that God has called you to. Somebody say purpose.
Purpose.
But after there's purpose, the second key is you must have passion. But you cannot have passion if you've not first learned your purpose. But once you learn your purpose, the next thing that comes is passion. And passion is a strong feeling. It's an uncontrollable action. But on the flip side, it can also mean suffering. And how many of you know that when you discover your purpose, you will have a drive and a desire. You will have fire in your belly to accomplish that which God has set before you. But in the midst of your running, you might catch a few thorns. In the midst of your running, you might catch a few wounds. And as you get to the totality of why you were put on this earth, you may get to a position to when everything around you is so painful that it hurts to the point to when all you can do is like Jesus in the garden say, Father, if it's possible, would you take this cup from me? I know that my purpose is to die on a cross and my blood has to be shed and I get it, God, but if it's possible for me to avoid this, can I? But how many of you know that if it's your purpose, you can't avoid it? Too many of us are asking God to take us out. When if we are going to become who God wants us to be, we must ask him to take us through. Jesus would not be Jesus in his totality if he had not suffered on the cross. If he had not died, and if he was not resurrected again. But in his purpose, yes, there was a passion. There was a strong desire, an uncontrollable feeling, which ultimately led to suffering. But after you understand your purpose, after you embody passion, the next thing you have, and the third and final key, is you now have power. Somebody say power.
Power.
Power is the strength or ability. And when we get to a point of understanding our purpose, and then we understand our passion, and we flow in those two things, what it produces is power. Power to perform miracles. Power to accomplish things that people thought you couldn't accomplish. Power to defy laws of nature. Power to do exceedingly and abundantly. Power to be a blessing. Power to be the head. Power to get wealth. Power to have health. Power. There's many types of power in the Bible, but the power that I want to discuss tonight is the dunamis power. The dunamis power is a deep indwelling power. Can be equated to the dynamite power of God, right? And imagine the force of dynamite. What does dynamite do? Dynamite literally blows up everything that it touches. Dynamite has the ability to be put in a 100-story building. And at the right time, when the flame is lit, that's your purpose. When that flame is lit, that's your passion. When the flame is lit and it gets to the point of exploding, boom, that's the power that God wants us to have. That's the power that God wants us to walk in. You are anointed to go into places and begin to change the very atmosphere. You are anointed to go into places with the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit and break up things for the kingdom. You are literally anointed and appointed and chosen to go on to whether it be a job, whether it be another opportunity, whether it's a school or a business or a church, whatever God sends you, whether it's your relatives' houses, whatever he sends you, you are anointed. Once you know your purpose, once you know your passion, you then begin to flow in dunamis power so that everywhere you go, you become dynamite. Amen. But I go back to the first thing I told you. But if you don't believe the word of God, if you don't begin to search the word of God, if you don't believe these 66 books of the Bible, you ain't going to discover your purpose. You ain't going to have the strength to flow through the passion, and you definitely ain't going to have no power. When you enter an atmosphere, y'all, once you leave it, it should never be the same. When you enter into a place, whether it be for an hour, a day, a year, or 10 years, when you exit that place should be better than it was when you got there. Why should it be better? Because the salt has shown up. The salt of the earth is there. The light of the world is there with you. God, when you put yourself in a position to realize your purpose, to flow in passion, you then have power. And we all need that power. The world needs the power. It's only through that power that we will begin to see souls saved. It's only through that power that we will begin to see our churches packed out. It's only through that power that we'll begin to walk in Walmart and see folks speaking in tongues, laying on floors. Holy Spirit taking over Walmart. Holy Spirit taking over Meijer. Holy Spirit taking over Kroger. Walking on your job. Holy Spirit taking over. And the boss walking by, well, they just doing what they do. Ain't nobody work. Come on. Can you imagine the kind of power that you have when you can go into a room and your boss is not a believer, but you tell your boss what they're going through and what issue they have, and this is what thus saith the Lord, and you begin to lead them to Christ, and then the next thing you know, the very issue they had is gone. They're healed, they're delivered, they're set free, they died of their son, they came off of drugs, whatever they're going on in their family has turned themselves around. That's the kind of power we need, because it's those testimonies that begin to get other people to perk up their eyes and go, wait a minute, there might be something to this Jesus. When you look at the book of Acts, not only was there power by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's a bad brother, I tell you. You got to have the Holy Spirit. But what the Holy Spirit was doing was allowing for them to flow in such power that those around them said, wait a minute, I need to be a part of what is going on. And I just want to decree and declare to you tonight that when you discover your purpose, when you embody that passion and you begin to have that power, you are going to be an unstoppable force. I need you to understand that we don't just come to church to come. We don't just come because it's some social club. We don't come just to get out the house. No, we come that we might be filled up. We come that we might be able to go back and take the things that we're learning, the things that God is doing, and take them to the world and say, look what's going on in the kingdom. Look what my Jesus can do for you. These are three keys to living the life that Jesus has entitled you to. He has entitled you to live in a position of health and wealth. He's provided and entitled you to live in a position of abundance. Abundance of joy. Abundance of peace. Abundance of happiness. Abundance of love. I'm telling you, he ain't died so that you can be miserable and tired and frustrated, always wondering, is there more? He died so that you can experience the more. Why do we want to experience the more? We want to experience the more so that we can bring those behind us with us. That we can bring those out of darkness into the marvelous light. We must put ourselves in the position to live the life that Christ has entitled us to live, because it is through living that life that he will draw others. Amen. To the body. Father, we bless you right now. We thank you for the word that has gone forth, God. We thank you right now for purpose, for passion, and for power. We thank you right now, Lord God, that you have given us many keys, Lord God, to allow for us to live the life that you have entitled. Let our spirits get in line, God. Let our souls get in line, Father God, with what you have for us. Let our soul and our spirit become one, Father God, that we can flow like you have entitled us to flow, God. Let us be the light in the midst of a dark and chaotic world. Father, touch us now. Allow for us to receive all that you have for us, God. Not for our own selfish desires, Lord God. Not for our own accolades. But no, God, that we would be living epistles, God. Testimonies to your power and to your authority. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do we have any questions, any comments, any concerns? Glory to God. Our good God, I tell you. Our God's a good God. How many of you all believe that? He's a wonderful God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, Father. Amen. Oh, God, I tell you. No more church as usual. No more church as usual. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Radical God. You're a radical God. Yes, Father, we bless you, God. We bless you, Lord.